Intervju Radija Študent.
Torej pozdravljeni v terminu za Ereš intervju, katerem danes gostimo danskega elektronskega producenta, ki sliši na ime Mikkel Meldegaard in se sicer skriva za pseudonimom Mikkel Metal. V studijo smo ga povabili pred njegovim nocošnjim koncertom v klubu Channel Zero na Metelkovi, kjer bo v podpori domačih producentov in DJ-ev predstavil delček svoje obsežne glasbene kariere. So, hello Mikkel, welcome in our studio.
Thank you very much.
This is your first time in Slovenia, probably.
Actually not, I've been here once before. I think it's 5-6 years ago.
This was a you played here?
Yeah, I played here. It was a all-day festival. I don't remember the name. I think it was five or six years ago, and there was like your big...
What time of the year was it? Do you remember?
It was in the summertime, and there was me and a few other names from Compact, and your DJ Umek was also playing was all day long. It was outdoor.
What festival?
I don't remember the name.
Because I don't know, I thought it was maybe Festival Pomladi, but if Umek played, then it probably wasn't.
He did, I remember that, he did.
So what was like your experience back then?
The city, I really enjoyed it.
The like, city and the gig and...
The gig was fine, I played in the afternoon, so unfortunately there was not that many people yet, because it was like 12 hours.
What thing. Was the venue? Was it in a club or outside?
No, it was outside. Outside.
In some park or in the city?
No, in the city. In the city, like a big arena stage, like old buildings.
Križanke.
Slovenian names are difficult for me to remember.
This is some festival I think Umek organizes, or he's one of the promoters, I'm not sure, but okay.
Maybe.
So, you know, I rarely get the opportunity to speak to Danish musicians. I think I only had the opportunity to speak to Bjørn Svin so far. Do you know him?
Yeah, I know him. He's a nice guy.
What do you think about his music?
I like it. It's
it's a bit different than yours.
It's very different from mine. Very different. He's like more playful and experimental, but he has he's very very good at like improvising. He's one of the best improvisers.
You mean when he plays live?
Yeah, I mean he can like play for an hour and then afterwards he don't remember what he did, and he can't reproduce it.
So you know, can you tell us a few general things about Danish electronic music? How many producers there are, and what's its position inside Danish popular music?
Well, there are many producers, and there has been so for quite some years. And then we have like a new generation also, and then we had like a few names who really have become very big, and they've kind of spread out to the broad audience. I mean, primarily Anders Trentemøller, as you probably know. And we also have a few other names. So they've kind of made electronic music more common and popular. So that's fine. But you also have a lot of underground people.
Who are mostly performing or known to the Danish public or outside of Denmark
both,
as well.
Both. Yeah, and you have like experienced people like me, but also like young people playing also abroad, so it's great.
So what is it like being an electronic music producer in Denmark? Is it a nice thing, a nice life? You also have a degree in philosophy, so...
Yeah, I have a degree in philosophy.
But you are working with music, so it's probably better to be a musician than a philosopher, or...
Well, I mean... I didn't plan my life like so long term. It kind of happened this way. I mean, I wouldn't have mind doing something else or working with philosophy also, but this is like the way it turned out. I just have it's difficult for me to give up the music, and I'm partly living from my music, doing some web programming, and give me a lot of flexibility. I have small kids also, so it's kind of
convenient.
Yeah.
Do you get the opportunity to play as much live shows as you would like to?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, I don't play all the time, but regularly, so it's okay actually. And I wouldn't like going out of the country every weekend. And I've also started picking up DJing a little bit again. It's quite
teaching?
Fun.
DJing.
Yeah, I used to DJ many years ago, and for many years I only did live shows. Now I've started DJing a little bit again, which gives me, I can have more gigs locally.
In Denmark?
In Copenhagen also.
But you also perform outside?
Yeah, definitely.
Is there some sort of electronic music scene in Denmark? Or do you feel part of some electronic music scene there?
Well, I guess there is an environment centered around the guy who run Echo Chords, also run one of the primarily clubs for electronic music in Copenhagen, so that's like a small environment there, which I'm part of, and that's great. But there's also like different genres having their own crew.
Does it help being a part of a particular scene? Probably easier to promote yourself within, or?
Oh, yeah, I guess so. I never think so much about it, just, you know, that's just the way it is.
So, before you started producing electronic music, you played guitar in more rock-oriented bands. So, can you tell us a bit about that? Because allegedly you were inspired by British shoegaze bands, is that so?
Yeah, that's true. I picked up playing guitar when I was like 18, and I was very much into this, the British shoegazing with my brother Valentine and Riot, and also the American like lo-fi bands like Pavement, and I still like this kind of music, and I played like 5-6 years, and then just got a little tired with all the band thing and discovered sampling and went into that.
When was this? When you changed turn from?
I think it was like 10 years ago or maybe a little bit more. But from time to time I think about doing like more indie inspired project, but so far it's only an idea.
I don't think I heard your first album, but I really liked your second one, Victimizer. And to me, there are still obvious traces of this more rock or shoegazy aesthetics to it. You know, so did you know maybe bands like Seafield? They were one of the first ones to go into the more electronic territory.
Yeah, Iron Open, yeah.
What did you think of that? Did you?
Yeah, it's great, yeah. I like it.
So, what was the thing that triggered your decision to quit rock music and start electronic music? Was it just sort of happened naturally, or did you get bored with rock music?
Oh yeah, it was like a combination of several things. It was like practical reasons that I played in some bands, and you know, all the practical issues. People, they don't agree with how we should do this kind of music, and start quarreling, and like not enough room for everybody's ego. So that was like practical reasons. And then I also kind of discovered electronic music and was very much inspired by the idea of, you know, shaping my own sounds and not being kind of limited to the guitar, when I could sample everything and manipulate it in my own way. I really like this idea, and I still do.
You said you were inspired by electronic music. Do you remember any particular artist that inspired you?
Yeah, I mean, the first years I was very much like Dutch sound, S&D, you know, these very, very very minimal.
Mark Fair just released a couple of records. Did you hear them maybe?
No, not the new stuff.
Because it's quite rigid and in a way very mechanical, which is quite different to your, you put more attention into atmosphere maybe.
Yeah, but I was just very, very inspired by the kind of, it's so clean and principled, it's very to the bone. I really like that, and Pole and all the classic up to techno stuff also, with them in sound, obviously.
So you already said that what caused that you started making music by yourself? You quit bands because of completely technical issues. So what are some
It was not only technical issues, also I think it was I got a little bit tired also about this idea about, you know, these people when we were just making songs about me and my own emotions and all this idea. At this point I was a little bit tired of that, and really kind of like that electronic music was more like open for interpretation, and you didn't kind of stuff your own feelings into people's faces. That was important for me at that point.
So as you said, you release some of your music, or there's a scene around the label Ecospace.
EcoCord.
EcoCord.
Yeah.
Sorry. Did you know Kenneth Christensen before you started making electronic music, or did that happen later?
I didn't know him. I was like a customer in his record shop. At that time, uh-huh. We still had good record shops in Copenhagen. He was running one of the best. And
you don't have them nowadays?
No, they all closed now. It's really a shame.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same tendency.
Where do you get your music?
And people buy like from Hardwax or Boomcat, got them shipped by. Mm-hmm. If you want to buy vinyl, that's the way to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
You can't
mm-hmm.
get it in Copenhagen anymore.
Mm-hmm. There's an artist I really like, then that is on the same label, Rot Model.
Yeah.
I don't know. He was heavily influenced by the more dubbier side of techno, particularly Basic Channel, Moritz von Oswald and Mark Ernestus. And you seem to be more into the Cologne dub techno scene with Pole and...
Yeah, I like both.
Mm-hmm.
It's sure, and as you said, sometimes you can still hear a hint from my indie background. Sometimes, you just especially on the Victimizer album. So I come from a different direction or from a different origin. But I also, it's like I like this Cologne stuff, but I also like the very classical dub techno. I like both.
Mm-hmm.
But for the last years, I've done primarily stuff on EcoCord.
Mm-hmm. But there's another quite established label, Compact, you're associated with. How did you get in touch with them?
Through Kennel, actually, because he had he knew them, he had distribution deals with them, so that was kind of the link.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I wanted to ask you, it seems that vocal seems to be quite important part of this, from bigger part of your music. You did some vocals yourself on your previous albums. You worked with Paul Saint-Hilaire on album Peaks and Truths. How did that collaboration come about?
Actually, it was a little bit by accident, because I've been working with this dub techno for many years, and obviously I've thought about the idea how would it sound, how would it work if within like an MC, and
it was quite unfortunate accident, it seems.
Yeah, because the thing really is that asking him is the obvious choice, you could say, maybe too obvious.
Mm.
And I was just talking to Kenneth about the idea, and I didn't really have any ideas. And then he said, well, I know him, I can ask him, why not? We can see what happens. And then I said, okay, sure, why not?
Mm-hmm.
We can ask him,
mm-hmm.
he's a good friend. And then he said yes, so it was kind of... by accident. Mm-hmm.
And you worked in the studio together, or?
No, it was like I was sending him files and he was sending uh-huh. me files back, and we just talking on the phone.
Mm-hmm. And you were happy with the end result?
Yeah, he really delivered some solid work, I think. He
mm-hmm.
did.
Mm-hmm. Nowadays it seems that dubstep is taking quite a lot of attention in the field of this hybrid of Jamaican heritage and electronic music. So how do you feel about dubstep?
I like it a lot, and I listen a lot to it. Somehow I just choose not to start doing dubstep.
Mm-hmm.
I like it a lot, but you shouldn't jump on everything just because you like it and start doing it. But I think it's great music, much of it.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, you've actually seen dub techno have a kind of a revival.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it like peaked a few years ago, but it had some good years, actually.
Mm-hmm. Was there any direct influence from reggae and dub in your music, or did you discover all this electronic stuff mostly through electronic producers?
It was through the electronic producers, and then I kind of from that also heard a little bit of classic dub reggae, which I also like.
Mm-hmm. So maybe it's time we just make a short break with one of your songs, Victimizer, and then we'll be back with the second part of the interview.
Sounds great.
Thank you.
Torej pozdravljeni nazaj še v drugi del intervjuja z današnjim gostom Mikel Metalom. So, Mikel, this was a song called Victimizer, which is the title song of your second album.
Yeah.
And I picked this song because this was the song I discovered your music through. Can you tell us a bit about the song? Is there some story behind it? Or?
A little bit. I mean, before I made this album, I've been working a lot with instrumental music, so there was a little bit of vocals on this album and a little bit of text writing also. But and for this song was just Victimizer was just kind of description of a person who makes himself or herself a victim all the time. It's like a bad tendency in our time. And if you experience it in personally, it's just so annoying. And it's also like, a general tendency that's come up that people kind of see themselves as victims instead of turning it around and taking their own responsibility. So, a very rare thing for me with a little message in my songs.
Nice. So, we are a bit short on time, so yeah. Let me ask you a few things about playing live. You said that you were mostly doing live acts in the past and now you started DJing again.
Yeah, but of course I'll continue doing live acts.
Tonight you're doing live act or DJing?
Tonight's live. Definitely it's live act tonight.
And how is that different to your work in studio?
It's very different. Because I improvise a lot more. And it's like a... It's happening here now and I have like a timeline. I have to build a musical sequence or like a journey or something, and I have to do it right now and improvise. When you're in the studio, you can always stop, cut the time, so it's like it's another different time frame. And I like, and that's why I really like keep playing live. And I always make some good stuff on the spot when I improvise live.
It's more challenging.
Yeah, and I also like working in the studio, but I kind of do some new stuff when I play live that I don't make in the studio because it's another way of working, and that's why I really love keep doing it.
And what's your setup like?
For many years I had like a small synthesizer also, but now there was this...
You use software?
Yeah, I use this program called Ableton Live, which many people use, and then there was, you probably heard of this dedicated controller called APC 40, which was built for this specific program, and it gives you a lot of creativity. So I play with this and my laptop, and I think really with this controller I can be very creative. I can almost use it as an instrument, so that's quite good.
What makes a good live show for you? When do you get inspired? When you see, did you see any recently any gigs that you thought were really great?
I've seen mostly DJs lately.
So when did someone that stuck in your mind?
Yeah, I saw Levon Vincent from New York playing in Copenhagen. He's doing like a very musical mix of like Detroit house, Chicago house, and then a twist of a Berlin dub techno sound, and it's really working perfectly. And he's so talented as a producer and also as a DJ, so he's really good.
Have you heard any albums lately or some new artist that really caught your attention?
Yeah, I mean, for the last 2 years, Levon Vincent has been a favorite, and Omar S, also from Detroit, I liked the sound a lot. So actually I've been working with a little bit of kind of more raw Chicago-y sound into my new stuff.
So there's a new album planned, or?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, yes and no, I would say, because when I finished Peak and Truth, I wanted to have a break from albums, because sometimes it can also be like kind of keep you. It's hard work to do the album, and it takes a lot of time. So I feel more free just working with singles and one track at a time, and I wanted to try out new styles, and also done some ambient live acts, I've done some live music, I've played with a bassist, so I've just wanted to try some new stuff before I go into a new album. So
you said that the new sound is maybe going to sound a bit more like this raw Chicago thing.
Yeah, it's still me.
Is this a conscious decision where you take your music, or does it just happen?
It's more the latter. It's just something that happens.
But probably inspired by the music you listen
to.
Yeah,
of course. You're inspired all the time. The real challenge is not to... You still have to sound yet yourself. You have to find your own sound into it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we ran out of time.
Yep.
So I will just thank you for the interview.
You're welcome.
Taking the time to be here.
You're welcome.
To je bil torej intervju z danskim producentom Mikel Metalom, ki ga danes ob 23. skupaj z Octexom in Pavlom Kocbekom lahko slište v klubu Channel Zero na Metelkovi. Vprašanja pa sem postavljal Goran. Lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radija Študent.